Hi, everybody, and welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer, and joining me today is Eric. Eric, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me. Great pleasure to be here again.
This whole podcast series is all about 15 minutes and highlighting thought leaders in the FinOps space and talking about one specific topic, maybe three-ish questions. And we have 15 minutes, and we're going to kick it off in just a second. And our topic today is getting people to accept chargeback without pissing them off. What does that mean?
I would start with an analogy, okay? Remember when you're a kid and basically your parents paid for everything, okay? That's similar to having maybe the show back in business or not even that. So no accountability, really. Parents pay for everything. But, you know, and then parents start saying you should pay for yourself. And, you know, that pisses people off, and also kids are not happy with that. But there's a way that you can actually turn it around and people are happy about it. And that is that with accountability comes responsibility. With responsibility, in my opinion, also comes freedom. When you move out of the parents' house, then you're free to decide to do with your budget as you please, right? You have your expenses, that's suddenly your chargeback, right? But what you think of about positively is the freedom to do what you want or what you see right with a budget. So in a large organization, that would mean that simply you start deciding what you want to do with HR costs. You could reduce the cost for the cloud, so improve the efficiency of your cloud computing, FinOps, hey. And then you can add more engineers to work for you or buy finally the furniture you wanted to have or the team building trip that you couldn't afford last year, right? So there, that freedom is what hinders people from getting pissed off with chargeback, right?
Eric, the analogy right there, I'm having this discussion with my kids right now. They're 11, 13, they're still at home. And my 23-year-old actually understands this. She's kind of moved out. And they start to think about it, but like, what you're requesting, money doesn't go on trees. And they like to say, well, technically it does. But in an actuality, when they start earning their own money and have to put up their own money to do it, they're starting to be conscious about what they're spending it on. And I like that analogy.
And also, I think you should empower people to become managers of themselves and not be treated like kids, especially in a large organization. And I think in that sense, the analogy makes even more sense. You should stop treating business units and their managers as kids, because once you give them responsibility, then they will act up to it, or you have a very good reason to get them fired and get new people in. And yeah, in that sense, obviously it doesn't work from scratch with this approach, because mostly you have all these horizontal teams, monitoring, security, database teams, servers, virtual machines. Chargeback doesn't work with that, yeah, right? It's as if you had all your kids' hats and all your kids' shoes in Teams and you gave them responsibility to decide on budget. Doesn't work, no. Each kid is like an application. They have their own budget, they have their own expenses, they have their own requirements. In the same sense, you need to identify what is an application within your company. And you need to distinguish what is an application, what's a service. For example, if you have a team that's just providing storage services, whether it be database or file storage, then that is not an application, that's a service, right? So you identify which workloads can be tied into some business revenue, and then you have your income, okay? And then internally, you can create several layers or as many layers as required, as few as possible, of who pays what to which team. And then you create a new virtual team for the entire application, and that's it. And then you have basically the virtual version of the chargeback. And once the execs see this and like this, then you can go through and have real chargeback. And then they really can bring in also HR costs and also, I don't know, on-premise data center costs and whatever costs, and run basically, then you have the full unit cost-driven metrics for your whole team and for a budget.
Eric, what are your thoughts around really getting people to have that accountability and to care about the dollars that they're spending? Because as an employee, a lot of the biggest things that they look at is it's not my money, right? I'm spending this on there and now I need to charge it back, and it's charging back to like an invisible bucket or kind of like a chargeback location, and be like, okay, all right, I only have this amount to spend. As an engineer, it's very difficult, and sometimes, and not many companies have been able to do it, to actually charge back to that individual child or application that's being housed and get them to care about it.
Yeah, but I think if you give them the liberty to do with a budget within reason to do what they want, then they might also go on a team building trip with that money.
Eric, so what you're suggesting is that each individual application has responsibility for their own budget. And if they minimize the cost, or if they use it wisely and it's charged back and they have X amount of dollars afterwards, they get to decide what they can do or should do with that budget?
Yeah, I would say with a fair share of it, definitely yes. One share could go back to the company, so the company is happy with this initiative. And a share of it should definitely go into the budget of whatever the team wants to do with it. This could be acquire new tools so they can become even more efficient and saving even more money, because that's also a crux for a lot of FinOps practitioners. So basically, they are thrown in junior position, no budget, but they need to accomplish something, which is basically impossible. So what I often do is, when as soon as you get some credibility with the cost savings, you talk with the manager and say, could I use some of that budget for my next initiative? And that's already the way you're going, right? Then you have your own budget. Similar thing, if you run a team, you have your own budget, you have your own application. If you manage to save or become more efficient, then you should be able to play around more with the remaining budget. That could also be a salary increase across the whole team. And that means also that everyone in the team starts caring about efficiency because they get rewarded for it, right? That's my kind of gamification where it counts.
Eric, I'm actually liking this approach. I am seeing a very huge team collaboration, right? So you think like one quarter, I have X amount of extra dollars because I've saved all this. And as a team, you get to decide what you could do with a subset of that cash, that money that's there. And you say, well, we can give it back to salary increases. We can split to this and this. And the next quarter, okay, we can't do salary, but now we can buy our tools that we're looking for, or we can go on that trip. And the next quarter, I actually think this will work as an incentive for not only individuals, but teams, applications, and companies, because now they care about the money that's being spent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you almost transform every business unit with an application into a startup. Obviously, it could be virtual teams, so you can have several people work on different teams, so they get benefits from different teams and can also carry over success stories to the other teams, because the teams now are virtual. You work maybe as, and this is not just engineers, you can also have procurement officers in there that work on several workloads, so they are already intimately aware of the requirements of each application, rather than being in the team and deciding over 100, business units. So it's much easier to have dedicated procurement managers for a couple of teams or a couple of workloads, and then they already know, and then procurement speed goes up.
Eric, have you seen this implemented anywhere? Are there any success stories or any things that people can kind of like, you can share with the audience?
I've seen it partially implemented, but I left the gig and they're still working on it. But they started with the approach and they're still working with it.
And do you have any insights on how they approach this for each individual applications, maybe engineering units, business units, and how it might be progressing or working? Or how would you implement this?
Yeah, I say first you need to cut the lines of where the boundaries of the application are. So who's in, who's out, basically. And then you create a virtual team with everyone in it. Okay, with everyone relevant to the application in it. Okay, and that's your new virtual team. So this team should, at least the stakeholders of this team should meet regularly and decide basically the future and the stakes of this application. And that might also be then translated into what the company I was referring to earlier is doing already, is they transforming this virtual team into a business unit itself, so that the new business unit structure starts finally making sense.
Eric, my concern with doing this is that you start empowering people to save a lot of money and they start thinking about how much they can put back in their pockets without the right controls in place. Have you thought of that? Are there any suggestions on how to make sure that it is definitely driven?
You need SLAs and you need KPIs. So the cost efficiency should be also one of the KPIs. Okay, that's good. But the other KPIs should always be upon reliability, performance, uptime, all of those classic KPIs for any workload. And also I would not give back the whole cost reduction to the team, but a share of it, okay? But it's still a huge incentive. So they should still say that they only get the budget surplus if they play to awards all the KPIs for uptime and performance. Otherwise, they don't get the bonus at the end of the year, you see? Only if it works well, then they get the bonus.
And I'm assuming that revenue definitely plays a role within the KPIs to monitor, because if revenue's down, but my cost savings are good, we're not going to be handing back. And I'm talking, even if you take aside the salary expectation, but the extra incentives for them to purchase and do other things.
Yep, definitely. The thing is, obviously, it's unfair if the revenue goes down for a workload because it's outside their control, and you shouldn't bring also the salespeople into the calculation, but also because it could be the market and not the product. And but I would say there is no perfect model for this. There isn't. And I would rather have an imperfect model that is simply to understand, simply to implement, okay? And then just adjust manually sometimes here and there where needed. Because otherwise, you'll try to create the perfect model and the perfect calculation, and you will never finish fine-tuning that formula. Okay. So in that sense, what I said before, simple, you have a workload, you have a budget, you have your costs. Okay. If you manage to become more efficient, that could also be increasing your performance and keeping the cost the same. Since the revenue goes up, you go to a manager and say, hey, we did this. Look at that. Now we want an increase in budget because we want to reward our team members. If the company is reasonable, they should provide. If the company isn't reasonable, then maybe the team is looking for a new company.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you mentioned for the chargeback and kind of empowering each individual to do the savings definitely takes in not only the cloud financial management, cost optimization, and this works for all. I mean, you don't even have to center this around FinOps. It could work for any type of budgeting and constraints around it. But with CFM and, you know, you're trying to actually make the most money for the company, this is a huge incentive, not only for not the business, the executives, but a top-down approach to say, hey, listen, we're empowering you to do a lot of savings. Go do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. This would work in most business units anyway. It does not have to be the cloud. Definitely not. No.
Yep. I agree with you. Well, Eric, we are out of time. This is only supposed to be 15 minutes, and I really appreciate you sharing this insight. This is actually a new thought process that you've kind of given me, and I'd like to share it with more people.
The one thing is you need to have your FinOps team suggesting this in quite a good position as in hierarchy in the company.
Actually driving down from bottom up, the FinOps team is made up not only of your engineers, your business units, the finance, but everybody coming forward and say, hey, listen, we'd like to do this as a gamified approach to doing more cost savings, but we want to take some of those savings that we're doing for the company and we want to use it in our own way. Now, not everything, but we want a little portion to be able to innovate and kind of experiment on things. And I really enjoyed this approach. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me.
Cool. Looking forward to our next discussion soon.
Everybody, this has been the FinOps Nexus podcast. I'm your host, John Meyer. And as always, in true John Meyer fashion, we're out of here.